We are Sheffield Community Church, where we represent God to the lost and found. This is the podcast of our Sunday service. We hope this message blesses you and leads you to a better life.
Many of us, we know Christmas story so well as a very humorous story and fun to watch. We all go to nativities to go and watch the story of the birth of Jesus Christ, a season of good news and great joy. Yet despite all that, this can be one of the busiest, most stressful, and for some, the darkest season of the year. The first Christmas actually on earth was fraught with complications at every level. What happened in Bethlehem and the neighboring villages as a result of the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, was full of complications indeed, as you find this month. So today we begin a new series of messages called Christmas, It's Complicated. Christmas, It's Complicated. You will discover how complicated it is. And the title for this morning is Complicated News. If you are one of those that write notes, the title for the message this morning is Complicated News. So let's start by reading together from Luke 1, verse 26 to 38. If the media team, if you could help us, let's read together from Luke 1, verse 26 to 38. On the count of 1, 2, 3, let's read together. 1, 2, 3. In the sixth month of Joseph, Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father, David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from me. Father, we thank you this morning. Thank you for the reading of your word. Thank you for the truth that comes to transform us, comes to bring us to a place of repentance, comes to correct us, comes to teach us, comes to reprove us, comes to equip us for your purposes. This morning, it is one of those moments where, Father, we have come to sit at your feet and hear from you. Would you speak, Father, for your servants are listening. And as for me, Father, I just pray that you use me to communicate that which you want to communicate this morning, their heart you want to speak to, their mind you want to transform. Lord, would you touch them? Use my lips as an instrument to communicate your word. I humble myself before you. In Jesus' mighty name I pray. Amen. Amen. So we say the Advent series is called Christmas. It's complicated. But somebody might be saying complicated. Because we are going to hear this word more often this month, this season. I want us to start by just having a bit of understanding what does the word complicated means. There are many translations, but I want you to get to the context of what we will be referring to when we talk about Christmas. It's complicated. You're going to hear different versions of complicated news and whatever you hear. But let's first get to understand what does the word complicated mean. So the word complicated means consisting of parts intricately combined. It means consisting of many interconnecting elements. It's complex. It's baffling. It's puzzling. A complicated recipe. My daughter loves cooking. So sometimes she goes on YouTube or internet and she starts Googling this recipe that at my age I can't follow. Because when you start weighing anything, the pounds, I land in kgs, I get confused. So the recipes are complicated to me. Complicated machinery, tangled or difficult to unravel. It also means something difficult to analyze, something difficult to understand, something difficult to explain, something that is like a complicated issue, a complicated stereo, you know, system. If you ask the likes of Ango Nema, I mean, they'll tell you when they were teenagers, young men, how far you were known or how far you were measured, how you've advanced in your career, in your job, was buying a complicated stereo system that would play and the whole village will have to close their own stereos because yours is blocking them. That's how you were known for being the real man, right? You needed to have a complicated stereo system. It's different now. They now have cinemas in their houses. You know, that's what you are known that you are getting there. You're getting there. So it's complicated. But you might be saying, how is Christmas then complicated? How is it complicated when we are talking about it brings joy, it's time of great news, it's time of rejoicing, it's time of, you know, celebrating the birth of our Lord and Savior? Christmas can be complicated in two ways. Christmas can be complicated in two ways. First, the Christmas story itself is complicated. The Christmas story is complicated. There are so many difficult and odd things happening in the Christmas story. I know we have heard about it. I know we know the story. I know it's in us. We know it, and we can't sometimes see the complication outright. But listen, it's full of difficult and old things in the Christmas story. For a moment, I want you to take off your head of knowledge of understanding of the Christmas story and think of the Christmas story from the perspective of someone who has never heard the story. Imagine somebody from the 40 window churches, 10 40 window churches, where they've in countries where they've not heard about Jesus, where Jesus has not yet been preached. Put yourself in their position, and you're hearing it for the first time. So they are going to hear about the angel sent by God to Nazareth, to deliver an astounding and life-changing news to a virgin. That sounds complicated to me. This young lady who is engaged decides to submit herself as a vessel ready to be used by God and becomes pregnant by the Holy Spirit. That's complicated. You are engaged and you're allowing yourself to be impregnated by the Holy Spirit without your fiancé knowing. It's complicated. Her fiancé doesn't believe her, and decides to break off their legally binding ceremony quietly when he realized she was pregnant. Then an angel appears and convinces him to marry her. That's complicated. 9 months later, she's pregnant, riding on a donkey into a town because of a census that was being taken, and they had no place to stay and ended up in a stable. And she gives birth to her baby son. That's more complicated. 2 years later, as if that's not enough, 2 years later, some wise men show up to give the baby gifts because they have seen this star in the sky. That means something to them regarding the coming Messiah. And they happen to bump into King Herod, who hears about this news about the newborn baby, and it doesn't sit well with him. The idea that his own position might be threatened even by a newborn baby was not something Herod would tolerate. So he decides to kill all the babies that are 2 years and younger in an attempt to kill this Messiah. That's very complicated. Indeed, the whole story, the whole Christmas story itself is very complicated. I've just given you part of how complicated it was to those that attended the first Christmas. Secondly, Christmas is complicated today. Christmas is complicated today. The pressure to spend money you don't have in order to buy gifts. I mean, it's a in my household, I don't know about yours, already in my household, it has started causing complications. I mean, our kids, for some reason, this year, they decided not to put up a tree that they've known since they were born, the Christmas tree. And they said, it's too old. This year, we are not putting it up. And guess the year that they are choosing not to put it up? The year Jeremy Hunt has done everything to make sure that everything is tightened up. And they have said, we are not putting it up. I mean, you know, as a parent and you're a Christian parent, there are ways of trying to convince your child when they want to do something that you realize financially is not allowing you to do. You just go to the Bible. Say, I mean, is this biblical? So we tried to take them to the Bible and say, I mean, there's no Christmas tree in the Bible. I mean, you have done you have read this. Where is the Christmas tree? They said, well, you shouldn't have bought it when we were young because some of us were born and found the tree here. Why did you buy it? So it's complicated. It's complicated. The complications in deciding which family to see on Christmas Day, I've just told you that Christmas Day is a day that anyone can come to your house and don't ask them, why are you here? They'll tell you, I've come to celebrate Jesus with you. So that's the pressure of just which family would we say come in? And which one would we say, do you see my car parked outside? It means I'm not there. And yet you have parked up the road. The complication, you add the complication of children and their gift list. That keeps on changing. You think you have finished, they add another one. I don't know how they know you've actually bought the one that they sent to you. But they keep adding and revising it. They don't remove something that they put earlier. They just add. They add the pressure of your spouse demanding attention. And then the pressure from work asking you and telling you you're on call on Christmas Day. Of all days, you're on call. It's complicated. Then you struggle with the cold weather because they are predicting it's going to be a white Christmas. And for some of us, just the effect of knowing there is snow outside just causes anxiety and depression. Shorter days, shorter daytime. And then the issue of thinking about weight gain. Everywhere I'm going here, there are mince pies, there are chocolates. And you start thinking, weight chocolate. It's complicated. But you know what, my friends? If we are not careful, Christmas can become a burden rather than a joyful reminder of our Lord's birth and what that means to us. Today, I want us to learn from Mary about how to respond to God when God tells you to do something or that He is going to do something in your life that is going to be complicated. How do we respond? Mary's response sets off a chain of complicated events that show us that in the natural, the first Christmas was complicated. But it was for good cause. So, How do you respond to God's instructions when you don't understand everything? How do you respond to God's instructions when you don't understand everything? The first thing you do is to respond with humility. Respond with humility. Look at verse 28. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. The angel Gabriel said two significant things to Mary in that verse. Two significant things. The first thing Gabriel said is, "Greetings, favored woman." Greetings, favored woman. That means God has sovereignly created and chosen Mary to be the recipient of the news that Gabriel was bringing to her and be the woman to carry God's son in her womb. Friends, I need to let you know that she was not favored because she was better than all the women on the planet at the time. She wasn't. She was favored because God chose her. She became favored because God chose her. Let me just remind you when it comes to Mary, because there are many theologies about Mary and everything. Let me remind you, when it comes to Mary, there are some things you need to understand and know. The first thing you need to know is Mary was a sinner, just like you and me. She was not perfect. The Bible makes it clear that all people, that includes Mary, except Jesus, have sinned. Romans 3, verse 23. All people have fallen short of the glory of God. That includes me and you and Mary. Secondly, Mary cannot save anyone. She cannot save anyone. Yours and my salvation is a gift by God's grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus alone. If you read further on Romans 3, 24, it tells you. It is through the redemption, which is Christ Jesus alone. Our salvation is through Jesus Christ alone, not through Mary. So what we have here is a normal teenage girl who is a follower of God, who struggles with sin and needed a savior like everyone else, like one of us. She became favored when God chose her, not because of how holy she was. The second thing Gabriel saw that is said that is significant is, "The Lord is with you." Greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you. This refers to God's presence and power to enable her to do what Gabriel was about to say. God is with you to accomplish the task you are about to receive. Notice her response to this short greeting in verse 29. Mary, confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. How many of you would really get disturbed and confused because somebody has really greeted you in a way that is respecting you, promoting you, elevating you? I mean, you start, making sure your jacket shows that you are really respected, isn't it? But for Mary, she was confused and disturbed. Why? We need to understand that at this point in the conversation, Mary knows nothing about getting divinely pregnant. She knows nothing about giving birth to the Messiah. She knows nothing else attached to this miracle. All she knows is that the angel has appeared to her and has shown her favor, and the Lord is with her. That's what she knows. Yet she is confused and disturbed. While this would be a normal response to such an encounter, one of the reasons why this is so confusing and disturbing to her is because she knows she's a sinner and she did not understand why God has favored her. Why? I mean, David said, "Who am I? Who am I? Who is David and my people that will find such favor with you, Lord?" He understood. He was a sinner, and he didn't deserve the grace, the mercy that God was showing him. So, All this is a reflection of her humility. The response that she gave is a reflection of her humility. You know what? She responded with humility. Who am I, Lord? I'm disturbed. I'm confused. Why would you favor a woman like me, a teenager like me? Why would you favor me? There's one thing you need to understand. Humility opens the door of your life to more of God's grace. If you want to experience God's grace daily, humble yourself. The Bible says, humble yourself and the Lord will exalt you. It attracts more grace in your life. One of the greatest lessons, therefore, we can learn here is that God can use normal people, normal sinners like you and me, and to accomplish his plan and his will in our lives and in the world, if we can only respond with humility to his call. We can only respond. Don't say, Gabriel, I've been waiting for you. You delayed. I knew I was a prophet when I was born. I knew this was for me. Respond with humility. Amen? The second thing, respond with faith. Respond with faith. First, when you don't understand what God is saying, when God is telling you something that you don't understand how it will happen, respond first with humility. Secondly, respond with faith. God's message, God's word, God's promises is to be mixed with faith. Faith is simply trusting what God says. It's simply believing what God says. Look at what the angel said to Mary, beginning with verse 30. He said, don't be afraid, Mary, the angel told her, for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end. Mary asked the angel, but how can this happen? I'm a virgin. I've not known any man. That is a complicated message to a teenage girl. I can understand why Mary would be confused and disturbed before and after hearing this news. I understand. But notice carefully her question. How can this be? How can this happen? I am a virgin. Friends, this is not a question of doubt, but of implementation. It's completely different from what Zechariah said. Zechariah said, how can I be certain what you're talking is going to come to pass? Do you think I can accept what you're saying? I'm old. I've advanced in years and my wife is old. That was a question of unbelief. This is not a question of unbelief. How can this be? For I am a virgin. It's a question of implementation. It's not a question stemming from unbelief, but one trying to understand how such a thing could be possible. She had faith and trust in God to do what he said he would do. But her question dealt with the practical side of how this was going to occur. Even though she believed God would do it, it seemed impossible. You know, sometimes, like in this case, God will answer the question of how he plans on bringing his plan about. It's not always the case. But usually when God is choosing you, when he has favored you and is choosing you, he has the grace to explain to you how this be. That's why Gideon fleeced with God and got away with it. So in verse 35, the angel replied, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy and he will be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but she has conceived a son and is now in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God. Just a word of encouragement to Mary. Regardless of how complicated and how confusing or how disturbing God's word for you can be, we are to receive it by faith. Because if we could do it, he doesn't need to tell us. Because we can do it.
God knows what he's doing. He is perfectly wise and can be trusted. So whether you understand or agree with it, how God is going to implement his plan in your life is not the issue. The issue is for you to simply trust him and believe him with the matter and the situation and do what he says he will do. Rely on the Lord to fulfill his word. The Bible says he watches over his word to perform it. How he does it, it's not your issue. It's not my issue. It's not good enough, church, to know, to only know the promises of God in our lives and in this ministry. The word, Lord, is the word that has been spoken, the word that has been proclaimed over our lives, over this ministry. Let's believe that the Lord will do what he says he will do. Let's believe those promises. How do you respond when God says something you don't understand how it will come? Number three, respond with a servant's heart. Respond with a servant's heart. Look at verse 38. Mary responded, I am the Lord's servant. I am the Lord's servant. I mean, I always get intrigued by the fact that Mary did not consider much about who she was, her situation, her circumstances. She just said, I am the Lord's servant. This word servant is significant. It gives us insight into Mary's heart, and it gives us insight into the kind of servant, the heart we should have toward God. To understand the depth of this word servant, there are two things we need to know. The first thing, as a servant, you willingly serve God. There are many reasons people serve. There are many motivations people serve. But this word we are discussing, the servant that Mary said, you will be serving God willingly. So the word servant is referring to a specific kind of servant called a bond servant. A bond servant is someone who loves their master and considers it a blessing and an honor to save him and officially becomes their servant for life. This is renouncing all other masters and giving your allegiance to just one master. You are not a here and there kind of a servant. You are in it for life. Mary did that. She declared, I am the Lord's servant. He is the master. This is also true for you and me. As a follower of Jesus, you are a servant of the Lord. He is the master. You are the servant. He is the potter. You are the clay. He can break you and make you. He can deconstruct you and construct you. He can shape you and reshape you. You are under his authority. As a servant, you want to do what he wants you to do. You fully obey God. Jesus put it this way in Matthew 16, verse 24 to 25. Jesus said, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must turn from your selfish ways. Take up your cross and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. As God's bond servant, you willingly save God. Secondly, as a servant, you willingly give up your rights. Hey? You willingly give up your rights. It is my right to do this. It is my right to do that. It is my right to the point that we don't know when to stop, when to draw the line, even when dealing with God. Our prayers are full of demands and claims, even if it's not God's will. Because it's our right as his children, right? As a servant, you willingly give up your rights. A bond servant says, I love my master so much and I'm so blessed to serve him and do whatever he wants me to do, I will do it. Mary had that attitude towards God, and so should we. She saw herself as belonging to the Lord, and so should we. You see yourself as a vessel, an instrument in God's hands. I mean, talk about people that work with instruments. They use them anytime, anyhow. I mean, Phil, if you come up and the keyboard start telling you what are you looking for, what would you do? You take it out because you actually wonder what's going on with this thing. Because one, it's not supposed to speak back to you. So you will get rid of it quickly. But we are instruments in God's hands, but we ask him, I mean, what are you up to, God? I mean, don't remember praying for that. I didn't remember signing for that. We are God servants. You are so convinced that all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose that you give yourself to God in complete abandonment. You surrender all your rights to save him. You lay down your crown. You lay down everything to do with you to save him. Then you become a bond servant. So as a bond servant, if God's word says it, you are going to believe it and do it. You give up all your rights. That involves your ideologies, your philosophical understanding, your experiences, your credentials, your position, your status. You lay them down. This is what Paul says in Galatians 2:20. Paul says, my old self has been crucified with Christ. I give up my rights. It is no longer I who live. I'm giving up my rights. But Christ lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. When you hear God speak to you, whether it's through word, whether it's through a godly counsel, whether it's through a small, still voice of the Holy Spirit speaking in your heart, receive it as one of his servants, ready to yield completely to his will. Ready to yield completely to his will. Number four, respond with acceptance. How do you respond to God when God is saying something that you don't understand how it's going to happen? Respond with acceptance. Verse 38b says, Mary says, may everything you have said about me come true. Some versions say, let it be unto me according to your word. That is saying yes with no reservations. That is not a statement of doubt, but a statement of faith which accepts the outcome of their yes. It accepts the consequences of your yes. When Mary heard what was going to happen, she knew she would face several difficult things. I mean, she was engaged. What were the in-laws going to say? How was she going to explain to anyone that the Holy Spirit overshadowed me and I got pregnant? I mean, she had no history to attach to refer to. She had no reference point. It had never happened. So she knew she was going to face very difficult days. You know, sometimes you can refer to, oh, don't you know it happened in Africa? If it even happened in Asia. I mean, this is not new. God can do it. But this one had no reference point. She was rewriting history. So she knew she was going to face difficult things. I'm sure that this was not the way Mary thought her life was going to go. She thought like any bride, she was engaged, she was looking for her dress, she was preparing for a wedding, and she didn't know that the dress would not fit because the Holy Spirit would overshadow her. I don't think that's what she planned. So she knew she was going to face difficulties. But she had to respond, and she had a choice to make. She had a choice to make. So do we. When God speaks, we have to respond. And guess what? We have a choice to make. Let me just highlight some of the difficulties that Mary were going to face. First, she would have to face Joseph, her fiancé, and explain why she is pregnant and not being sure of how Joseph would respond to that. You can't just go to your fiancé and say, I'm pregnant, and expect them to understand. I mean, there will be one in a billion. She knew. When she did tell him, he decided to end the engagement until the Lord had to dispatch another angel to come and tell him and convince him that what Mary was saying was true. God himself had to come and defend Mary's statement because there was no other witness besides him. She knew the difficulty she was going to face. Secondly, she would have to face the appearance of adultery. I mean, okay, Joseph, the angel appeared to him and understood. What about the in-laws? What about the neighbors? What about the friends? What about the elders in the community? How was she going to convince them? She would have to face the appearance of adultery. In Mary's time, if you were engaged, you were considered legally married, but you haven't consummated the marriage yet. To become unengaged or to break that engagement, you had to go through a process of divorce. That's what Joseph had decided to do, but the Lord changed his mind. And also, in her time, adultery would be punished by death. They would stone her to death. She knew it. She had seen other girls being stoned. She knew. And yet, she said, I am the Lord's servant. Let it be so unto me, according to your will. And finally, she would have to face her mad reputation. I mean, talk about people. People who do talk. People who did talk. She gave them every newspaper who did talk about it. They would go and sell the story to the newspapers to the Star, and the Star would sell. People would assume, and they would gossip. She knew that. She knew that. That's why in her 6 months, she had to go and meet up her cousin, who maybe had the understanding. She knew people were talking around and would talk around. But you know what? Her love and commitment to God was so strong that she would say with humility and honesty to God, may everything, with all the understanding and the knowledge of the difficulties I will face, may everything, not some of what you have said, may everything you have said to me be fulfilled. Commitment. Commitment and love for your God. Even if that meant losing her husband to be, if that meant losing her reputation in the community, even if that meant paying it even with her life, losing her own life, because she could have been stoned, she was willing to say, may everything you have said to me be fulfilled. You know what, friends? God has a plan and a purpose for your life. Sometimes God moves us in a direction we didn't see coming. It is at these times that we need to get into the posture of saying, yes, Lord. Yes to God. From your perspective, there will be many uncertainties and concerns, and you may have about what God is going to do or how he's going to do, like Mary. But whatever God has planned for you and me, may you be able to say like Mary, may everything you have said about me come true. May you be able to say, may every word that has been spoken over my life be fulfilled. May you be able to say, may your will be done in my life as it is in heaven. Not my will, but your will. Not my plan, but your plan. Mary had a, you know, sometimes we wonder how, I was reflecting, I'm saying, how did Mary come to the place of, she didn't say, let me just consult Joseph. I mean, can I just have a word with Joseph? Can you come back in the evening? Can you do that? Let me just go and talk to Joseph and find out, you know, whether Joseph will be in agreement, whether you'll understand. She didn't. She honestly, with all her love, Lord, let it be unto me. You know why? Because Mary had a healthy relationship with God. She knew her God. She understood him. She trusted him. So she was willing to fully obey him. She carried a servant heart attitude. She carried a posture of saying yes to God's word. Let's take a moment to reflect. How is your relationship with God? What attitude do you carry before the Lord? Are you in a place where you can say, here I am, Lord, let it be unto me according to your word? Are you willing to surrender your rights and yield completely to the Lord, even when you don't understand what he's saying and how it's going to happen? Even when you know you're going to face some difficulties and you have to answer a lot of questions and explain yourself to many people. Even when you say, you know, people say, what a worst of life. And yet you're willing to say yes. Your first step in facing your complication is to have a healthy relationship with God. That's the first step for you and me. That relationship starts with placing your faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life. God has a unique assignment for you. He has a unique assignment for me. And the assignment that God has for you is for you to fulfill. So I want us to take a moment. I want us to take a moment to reflect on your life, reflect on the word that has been spoken in your life, reflect on the godly counsel you have received from the Lord, reflect on the small, still voice that has once spoken to you about your life. Let's take a moment to say, here I am, Lord. I am your servant. Send me. Use me. Let's take a moment to say, I say yes, Lord. Reflect on your life. Despite the complications, despite the difficult times, despite the difficult situations, take a moment to say, here I am. I say yes, Lord. I say yes, yes, Lord. I say yes, yes, Lord. This takes from me, Lord. I say yes, yes, Lord. I say yes, yes, Lord. I say yes, Lord. I say yes, Lord. I say yes, yes, Lord. One more time. I say yes, yes, Lord. I say yes, yes, Lord. I say want to pray with the two groups of people. I want to pray with those that want to give their life to Jesus. It starts with a relationship with Jesus to be able to say yes to him. You start the first yes you have to say is the one that you say, yes, Lord Jesus, I invite you to come into my life. So if you are one of those that want to give their lives to Jesus, please raise your hand. I'll pray with you. It's never too late. Jesus is always knocking at the door, waiting for those that are ready to receive him, to yield unto him. And secondly, I want to pray for those that want to yield completely to God's plan for their lives. those who are ready to face the consequences of saying, I'm the Lord's servant, let it be unto me. Those who are ready to face Joseph, despite the difficulty of getting him to understand. I want to pray with those that are ready to appear, to face the appearance of adultery. Those who are ready to face the consequences of a mad reputation. Those who are ready to give up their rights. Those who are ready to save him willingly. They are ready to be a bond servant. Those who are ready to say, Lord Jesus, take over my life. Every aspect of it. Every element of it. Every part of it. Take over my life. If you are sensing that in your heart, for some of you, you might have been like a Jonah who's running to Tarshish, and yet God has said, go to Nineveh. Maybe this is your moment to come back, to turn your to the right direction and go to Nineveh. For some of you, you might have backslid and God might be there, but he's at your feet and you are sitting at the chair at the center of your life. Maybe that's the moment to come back and say, Lord, I say yes to you. If you are not ready to face the consequences of the complications that saying yes to the Lord brings into your life, the inconveniences that saying yes to God brings into your life, do not raise your hand. I only want to pray for those that are saying, Lord, I have no rights. I give them up. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. This life belongs to you. I owe everything that I am, that I have, that I will ever be, and I will ever have unto you. Father, I pray. I pray first and foremost for those who are giving themselves to you this morning. Those who are saying, Lord, I am a sinner. I have sinned before you. But I thank you for the finished work of Calvary. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for that which you did on the cross, for forgiving me and showing me and demonstrating to me that you love me so much that you could hang on the cross just for me. You paid my debt that you did not owe. Lord, I invite you this morning to come into my life. Be the master and I'll be the servant. Be the king and I'll be the servant. Take over my life from today onwards, Lord. Sit at the center of my heart. Rule and reign. I choose to submit to you. In the mighty name of Jesus. And Father, I pray for those who are like me, who are choosing to yield completely to your plan for our lives, who are choosing to wait until you speak, who are choosing to wait and take no step until they hear from you, who are choosing to give up their rights to let you have your way, who are choosing to die to self daily so that you may receive the glory and honor through their lives, who are choosing to respond with humility, who are choosing to respond with faith to your word, who are choosing to respond with a servant's heart to your call, who are choosing to respond with acceptance despite the consequences, despite the outcome of the yes, Lord. Father, I pray for myself and my friends that are in the same place, that are in the same boat with me. Yes, we might be sailing to different, but Lord, I pray in the mighty name of Jesus, would you give us the grace to yield to you completely? Would you give us the grace to remain in the posture of saying yes, Lord, even when it gets tough? Would you give us the grace to remain standing, our eyes fixed on you, our minds stayed on you, our hearts listening to you, our ears opening to your voice, hearing you? Would you give us the grace to lay down, to give up our rights and yield unto you? Would you give us the grace to be prepared to live with a mad reputation just because of the call of God over our lives? Would you give us the grace to be willing to live with a reputation that is not known everywhere? Would you give us the grace to live with the consequences of saying yes to you. Father, would you give us that grace? We know apart from you, we cannot do it. Outside of you, we can't do it. We can't carry the consequences. We can't face the difficulties without you. So Lord, we pray, would you give us the grace we need? Would you strengthen us, oh God, as we continue to wait upon you? Lord, would you cause us to rise up with wings like eagles? Would you renew our strength that we may mount up with wings like eagles, that will run with your call and not grow weary? Lord, that will walk and not faint. Wherever you want us to go, whatever you want us to do, through your grace, you carry us through. We surrender to you this morning. We abandon ourselves. We choose to learn from Mary and respond in a way that allows you to fulfill your will and your purpose for our lives. As we celebrate this Christmas, as we go through this Advent season, Father, give us the grace to say yes to your will for our lives. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. 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 Thank you very much.
If God is transforming your life through this podcast, take courage and visit us in person. We would love to meet you and get to know you more. Thank you for listening. Hope to see you soon.